reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple area. He looked around at everything, and since it was already late, went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing from a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went over to see if he could find anything on it. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves. It was not the time for figs. And he said to it in reply, "May no one ever eat of your fruit again." And his disciples heard it. They came to Jerusalem. And on entering the temple area, he began to drive out those selling and buying there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. He didn't permit anyone to carry anything through the temple area. Then he taught them, saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples'? But you have made it a den of thieves." The chief priests and the scribes came to hear of it and were seeking a way to put him to death. Yet they feared him because the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. When evening came, they went out of the city. Early in the morning, as they were walking along, they saw the fig tree withered to its roots. Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed is withered." Jesus said to them in reply, "Have faith in God. Amen, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that it will happen for him, it shall be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, all that you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it will be yours. When you stand to pray, forgive anyone against whom you have a grievance, so that your heavenly Father may in turn forgive you your transgressions." The Gospel of the Lord. We're all accustomed to forming images of Jesus in our mind. And because we're finite and he is infinite, those images almost never do justice. They're a snapshot of a given day in the life of Jesus, but not a real moving picture in which the life of Jesus calls us to enter. And most of the time when we take those snapshots, they're the snapshots when we find Jesus most lovable. We could substitute a little bit, but many will hear Jesus' words, "Learn from me, I am meek and humble of heart." Others will see Jesus forgiving the good thief on the cross, praying for his persecutors. Others will see him standing up to those men who had stones in their hands, ready to stone to death the woman caught in adultery. We'll have that image of the prodigal son or the lost sheep on the good shepherd's sturdy shoulder. And those will be the images we have fundamentally the Lord Jesus. And they're all true. But they also have to be understood in the context of other images that show us all of those truths brought not to our level, but to his level, brought to their fulfillment. We must have in our image of Jesus a love that is so strong that he does the two things in today's gospel. And if we don't understand them within the context of Jesus' love, we won't grasp them. But when we recognize how much Jesus loves us, and that his love is not this sentimental, "Oh, go do whatever you want. It doesn't bother me what you do. Just please, 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 please don't say you hate me." That type of overly sentimental love is not who the real Jesus is. Jesus loves us with a burning fire such that He really wants us to become those people He created. So we see two things in today's gospel. The first is the withered fig tree. Jesus, leaving Bethany, probably the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, is hungry. They probably didn't have anything there that day for him. And he sees a fig tree in leaf. I'm not much of a fig grower. But when fig tree is in leaf, it means that it's not yet at the time that it produces figs. So there are supposed to be no figs there at that time. But Jesus goes out, sees no figs, curses the tree, and we know what happens later when they return. The fig tree has withered to its roots and died. What's that all about? Jesus wants us to produce fruit in season and out of season. Not just when we're supposed to, not just when we think we're supposed to bear fruit. Jesus wants us constantly to be fruitful. 24/7, 365. And we're going to get in a second to how we're going to be that fruitful. But that leads us to the second image in today's gospel. When Jesus enters the temple area, there were various parts of the temple. The outermost part of the temple, right inside the first set of walls, was a marketplace, more or less, in which anybody going up to the temple to make a sacrifice would be able to buy an animal. Rather than carrying, for example, the people of Galilee, if they were going to be sacrificing a lamb at the temple, the lamb needed to be unblemished. It was 60 miles to walk from Nazareth up to Jerusalem. And you'd have to go down into Jericho and then on up. Anybody who's ever tried to walk a dog, even for a half mile, recognizes that occasionally there are other dogs who start to growl and who start to come out, and there are different fights and various things that can happen, and people can try to steal a lamb in the middle of the night, and there were pranksters and all this other stuff. So what did the folks who needed to journey to the temple do? Rather than carry a lamb for 60 miles, rather than walk with a lamb for 60 miles, rather than hope that the lamb wouldn't be swiped or injured and blemished and not able to be sacrificed, they just carry money. When they got to that outer courtyard area, they'd buy a lamb or a couple turtle doves or pigeons, etc., for the sacrifice. That was in the outer courtyard, where even the Gentiles could go. Then there was an inner courtyard of the women. Third, another courtyard in which the priests would go to pray and to sacrifice the animals. And in the innermost part was the Holy of Holies, where the high priest that year alone, one day a year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, could go on in and scatter blood inside that temple with incense. So that's how the temple was structured. And from time immemorial, they were selling animals and doing a money exchange there in the temple for people coming from other lands who would need to buy the lambs in a special temple currency. That's the background. Jesus comes in, basically says, this isn't the purpose of the temple. We need to see Jesus overturning those temples, getting out a whip and driving out the money changers, and then seeing him stopping people even from carrying animals up to be sacrificed in the place of the temple called Holy. What was going on? Everything except what was supposed to be going on there. People were going through the motions, business as usual on the commercial side, and people were taking up their sacrifice to be slaughtered where it's, the Lord didn't need an animal's blood. The Lord wanted real sons and daughters. He wanted people praying there, not just sacrificing an animal instead of praying there. And it had all been turned totally upside down. And that's why Jesus, with a burning love, said, my Father's house is meant to be a house of prayer. Now let's start bringing it back. Jesus wants to dwell in us in a far more intimate way than he ever dwelled in the Holy of Holies in that temple in Jerusalem, which King Solomon had built for him and King Herod had rebuilt. He wants to live in us. But when we start to look at where our heart is most of the time our heart isn't with God. We're worried about how we're going to make the money here, or how we're going to learn this stuff in school so that we'll be able to make the money later. Or we'll keep this vengeful thing, and how are we going to get back to that person who told me off this morning? Or how am I going to fix that worry or that preoccupation or that concern? Jesus wants to remind us that we are supposed to be a house of prayer. We're supposed to be someone in intimate communion with the Lord, that the Lord's supposed to dwell in us, and we're supposed to keep that dialogue going. A real, loving, intimate dialogue going throughout the entire day. So that no matter what we do, no matter what sacrifices we're making of ourselves out of love for God and love for others, which is what work and school is supposed to be. If we're not doing it for others, if we're just doing it for the paycheck, we're no better than prostitutes. We're doing it for God and we're doing it for others. Whether we're making pencils, whether we're taking out the trash and we're a garbage collector, whether we're a fisherman, whether we're a priest, it's all supposed to be for God or others. But the Lord wants us to do that in communion with Him. That dialogue of communion, which is called praying always. And that's the way we'll bear fruit. Jesus told us in the celebration of the first Mass, I am the vine, you are the branches. Unless you remain in me and I in you, you will bear no fruit. But if you remain in me and I in you, then you will bear abundant fruit. Jesus then said, and it was our gospel verse for the gospel today, I chose you from the world to go and bear fruit that will last. This is our mission. This is our real Christian identity. Let's not be a withered fig tree. We're called in communion with the Lord to bear fruit in season and out of season. Because when we are in true communion with Jesus, we can't help but bear fruit in acts of love 30, 60, and 100 fold. And if we don't bear fruit, it's because we're not in communion. So don't think, oh my heavens, what is Jesus saying? If he were to examine me right now, would I be cursed as a withered fig tree? How am I possibly going to bear fruit? Ooh, I'm nervous. No, the solution's here. It's all in remaining in communion, branches with the vine. And please know that the devil's going to do anything he can to cut you from the vine. Don't let him. And when we're truly in communion with him, we can move mountains.